The thoughtful practice of preparation for the Lord's table is a most necessary aspect of coming together to receive the bread and the cup. For not only is it common sense in relation to the solemnness of the table, but it is a biblical requirement which today's text outlines to us in the way of stating that as we come to the table, there must be a self-examination. But let a man examine himself. Examine himself.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people. Hello and welcome to Let the Bible Speak today. I'm Andrew Fitton, delighted to have you with us as we consider the Word of God afresh. And as believers, those that love the Lord Jesus Christ and have been saved by His marvellous grace, we often go to the Lord's table to remember His death till He come. Have you ever stopped and pondered the great purposes of the Lord's table. The great blessing that come from that table to your soul. That is what we're going to consider today as we go to our pulpit in Cloverdale, and the message is entitled, The Purposes of the Lord's Supper. May the Lord bless His word to your soul.
I want to draw your attention this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and the verse 28. Familiar words concerning the Lord's Supper. And the apostle says, But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. The thoughtful practice of preparation for the Lord's table is a most necessary aspect of coming together to receive the bread and the cup. For not only is it common sense in relation to the solemnness of the table, but it is a biblical requirement which today's text outlines to us in the way of stating that as we come to the table, there must be a self-examination. This is something that is not new to us. We have mentioned this on occasion. We may have preached on something to do with this text before, but we certainly have referred to those words time and time again and how important they are. But let a man examine himself. Examine himself. We've often said how easy it is to examine others. And if this text was commanding us to examine those who are sitting beside us and those who are in the congregation today, how easy that would be to point out the faults and the failings and the sin. But yet, how difficult it is for us to look at ourselves and to see our failings, to consider our sins, in light of the sacrament that we have today, in light of the Savior's death, to consider the sin that we commit day by day, the sin that nailed the Savior to the cross. Historically, Presbyterianism derived from Scotland, and the Scottish Church over the centuries has placed much emphasis upon the importance and the solemn nature of the Lord's table. It was but limited to a small number of occasions per year. It took the form of a series of meetings that marked a preparation phase in coming to the table, starting around Wednesday and continuing right through to the following Lord's Day. Believers were expected to prepare their hearts through the preaching of the Word, expected to examine themselves and to take seriously the table of the Lord. And our Christian faith is a serious thing. We should not take prayer lightly. We should not take the reading of Scripture lightly. We should not treat the preaching of God's Word and worship lightly. And coming to the sacrament before us, the table of the Lord, we should not treat it lightly. When we think of our Savior, He did not treat sin lightly. As He went to Calvary's cross to die for us, He did not look at us as fallen men and women and treat that sin lightly or treat us lightly. He went to the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. And how marvelous that is, that we are redeemed, we're saved because of the work of Christ. And therefore, in coming to this table, we remember the suffering of Christ. We remember His death. We remember His agony. We remember the great spiritual suffering that He endured, as well as the physical, in redeeming us, a people unto Himself, and saving us from our sins. And therefore, as we come to the table today, it is a serious thing. It is not to be something that is tacked on to our service Our Directory of Worship, our Book of Church Order, emphasizes that. We're not to worship God and go through the motions of worship, and at the very, very end, there's the Lord's table for whoever wants to come. It's a serious thing. And today we've come thinking upon the table, singing about our Savior. We've read concerning the institution of this table. And as we come and prepare our hearts through the preaching of His Word, it is a serious thing. And dear believer, do you take the table of the Lord seriously? Are you here today because the table is here? Are you here today because you want to partake? You see the benefit. You understand the purpose. You want to come in obedience to the command of Christ and remember the Savior who died for your sin. And this aspect of taking the table seriously is vital, for in Corinth, there was a lack of seriousness regarding the meaning and the purpose of the table. We'll come and consider more of that this evening. But the Lord's table is a sacrament. It is a means of grace. And the Westminster Shorter Catechism emphasizes the importance of sacraments. A sacrament is a holy ordinance instituted by Christ, wherein by sensible signs, Christ and the benefits of the new covenant are represented, sealed, and applied to believers. And we have two sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And the Lord's Supper is a sacrament, the Catechism says, wherein by giving and receiving bread and wine, according to Christ's appointment, His death is showed forth. And the worthy receivers are, not after a corporal and carnal manner, but by faith, made partakers of His body and blood, with all His benefits to their spiritual nourishment and growth in grace. What is required to be the worthy receiving of the Lord's Supper? It is required of them that would worthily partake of the Lord's Supper that they examine themselves, of their knowledge to discern the Lord's body, of their faith to feed upon Him, of their repentance, love, and new obedience, lest coming unworthily they eat and drink judgment to themselves. And we see that in the text that we have before us. We are to examine ourselves, of our knowledge to discern the Lord's body. Do you understand the death of Christ? Do you understand that that death was for His people? Do you understand that He died for sinners and that salvation is through Him alone? Do you have that faith to feed upon Him, to desire Christ through His Word to feed your soul, to give you grace? Do you understand repentance and love and new obedience? All of these aspects of Christianity that through Christ we are to practice and live toward. And therefore, we're not to come in a haphazard manner to the table of the Lord. We're to come with hearts and souls that are truly discerning regarding our Savior. John Flavel, the Puritan, in his exposition of the Shorter Catechism, comments on the Catechism itself and the Lord's Supper as expounded in it. And this supper is given by the institution and therefore the authority of Christ. And he says about the time of that institution, it says it teaches us, coming to the Last Supper, right on the eve of Christ's crucifixion. The timing teaches us how great Christ's care and love to His people is, that He makes in His ordinance such provision for our comfort, though He knew His own bitter agony was just at hand. And what is He saying? Christ was on the eve of death, on the eve of suffering for His people. And there in the book of Luke chapter 22, in the book of John, as we see the Lord's table instituted, what does the Savior do in the midst of facing this agony? He comes and He institutes this table for the comfort of the Lord's people, to remind you and I that He died for our souls, to remind you and I that we have a Savior, to remind ourselves and to encourage us in the faith that we are not left alone, but that we depend upon the Savior. This table is a table of comfort and encouragement to your soul, dear believer. John Knox gave a summary, and he wrote that just as Christ said, He Himself was the bread wherewith our souls be fed unto everlasting life, so Christ, in setting forth bread and wine to eat and drink, He confirmeth and sealeth up to us His promise and His communion, and representeth unto us and maketh plain to our senses His heavenly gifts. And this supper and this table confirms, it seals, it ratifies the new covenant unto believers. And it is aimed at bringing Christ and His sufferings fresh to our minds and to our hearts. It is a means of grace by which we receive grace. The means of grace, what are those means? Prayer and the reading of Scripture, the preaching of the Word, the sacraments. And the means of grace are often disregarded today. And that is a terrible state to be in. Often the cry goes up, oh, we need extra things. We need devotional videos. We need more meetings. We need praise evenings. We need informal study groups. There's so many things we could say, we need this and we need that. But yet the means of grace, the Lord's Day services, the prayer meeting, the reading of Scripture, our own times of prayer, some of which is personal, some of which the church opens its doors and provides these means, they're not so well attended and supported as they ought to be. The means of grace, dear believer, are vital to your growth as a Christian. And therefore, coming to the house of God, reading and praying in church and privately in your own home, coming to the table of the Lord is an essential means of receiving grace and instruction from God for your Christian walk. And we are to support these things and rejoice in these things. But as we come to the table of the Lord today, I want to focus on a subject that comes from what we have read and considering this passage together and asking the question, what is the purpose of the Lord's table? The purposes in God giving us this sacrament of the Lord's table. John Flavel said, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper and the very point of death require equal seriousness. A man's spirit should be as deeply solemn and composed at the Lord's table as upon a deathbed. We should go to that ordinance as if we were then going into another world. It is a solemn thing. And so the purposes of receiving the Lord's Supper. And firstly, I want you to see that we partake to remember our redemption through Christ. To remember our redemption through Christ. Verse 24, the apostle says, this do in remembrance of me, the words of Christ. Verse 25, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Supper is a symbolic remembrance of the Lord's death till he come. It was one of the focal points of debate during the Protestant Reformation. Due to the Roman Catholic practice of the Mass, referred to in the 39 Articles of the Church of England as a blasphemous fable and a dangerous deceit. There was a belief that Christ was physically present in the bread and in the cup, that it was the actual body and blood of the Savior. The doctrine of transubstantiation being the doctrine that governs that thinking within the Roman Catholic Church. And it was viewed by the Westminster Divines as something unbiblical, as something that it was to be stood against. It was something that was wrong. And not only wrong to Scripture, but in their mind to common sense as well. And so the purpose of the Lord's table is not to enable us to physically partake of the body and blood of the Savior. I think that much is obvious, but simply to remember His great sacrifice for our redemption. The death of Christ is something, dear believer, that you and I are to remember. We are never to forget. we are never to forget. Often you say those words, and you may think, well, Pastor, you do it as well. I've forgotten. Something has to be done. And you've forgotten, or I've forgotten, and it has not been done. And maybe it's a little late. Maybe there are consequences for something not being done. And there was innocent forgetting. When we think of the Lord's table, the Lord takes means here through this sacrament that we would not forget the death of Christ, that we would not forget His love for us, that we would not forget that we are not of this world, that we are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, that we are His people. Or you may say, I would never forget my Savior. I would never forget His deliverance. I would never forget His redemption for me. We think of the children of Israel, redeemed from slavery and bondage in Egypt, redeemed from the whips of the taskmasters, redeemed from that labor and toil in the heat of the day. They would now have freedom within the land that had been promised to them. And what do we find? A generation arising that knew not the Lord in Judges 2. And we find them turning from God time after time after time. They forgot the deliverance and the redemption of God. So, dear believer, there is a very real aspect to this, that we can forget all that Christ has done for us. We may remember it somewhat in words, but maybe we forget the importance of it. Maybe we forget the great call within that redemption to live for Christ and to serve Him and to worship Him. We need constant reminders. Why? We are a forgetful people. A forgetful people. And the apostle here reminds the church at Corinth to remember the death of Christ. In the way that Christ has instituted, we'll see tonight, they did not remember the death of Christ in the way that Christ had instituted. There was a corrupting of this. There was a fleshly attitude to the Lord's Supper. Yes, it is the supper of the Lord, but it was not remembered the way that it ought to have been remembered. And Paul is coming and saying, this is how you are to remember. And dear believer, we're to come with a solemn heart. We're to come with a heart that loves our Savior. We're to come with a heart that examines in light of Scripture and through the Spirit of God, our sins and our feelings. Is that something that maybe you have forgotten? That as you come to the table of the Lord, it is not merely about receiving the bread and receiving the cup. It is about examining your heart. It's about seeing about your love for the Savior. It's about considering your sin in light of the Scriptures. All these things are bound up in what the apostle sets forth here. And we are to remember Christ. The Puritan John Willison said, we should exercise a remembrance of Christ that is full of awe, reverence, brokenhearted mourning over our sins. Hatred against our sins. The quotation is in the bulletin. And trust in Christ for our full justification. Our hearts should even burn with affection to Him when we remember the great floods of wrath that break in upon Christ's soul and yet could not drown His love for us. For you.
Spurgeon's devotional comes today from Zechariah chapter 6 and the verse 13. He shall build the temple of the Lord, and He shall bear the glory. Christ himself is the builder of his spiritual temple, and he has built it on the mountain of his unchangeable affection, his omnipotent grace, and his infallible truthfulness. But as it was in Solomon's temple, so in this, the materials need making ready. There are the cedars of Lebanon, but they are not framed for the building. They are not cut down and shaped and made into those planks of cedar whose beauty shall make glad the courts of the Lord's house in paradise. There are also the rough stones still in the quarry. They must be hewn thence and squared. All this is Christ's own work. Each individual believer is being prepared and polished and made ready for his place in the temple. But Christ's own hand performs the preparation work. Afflictions cannot sanctify, except as they are used by him to this end. Our prayers and efforts cannot make us ready for heaven, apart from the hand of Jesus who fashioneth our hearts aright. As in the building of Solomon's temple, there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house, because all was brought perfectly ready for the exact spot it was to occupy. So it is with the temple which Jesus builds. The making ready is all done on earth. When we reach heaven, there will be no sanctifying us there, no squaring us with affliction, no planning us with suffering. No, we must be made meet here. All that Christ will do beforehand, and when he has done it, we shall be ferried by a loving hand across the stream of death and brought to the heavenly Jerusalem to abide as eternal pillars in the temple of our Lord. Beneath his eye and care, the edifice shall rise, majestic, strong, and fair, and shine above the skies. We thank you for listening to our program today. Thank you for joining with us. And we trust that the ministry of God's word has indeed been a rich blessing to your soul. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.